Perhaps it's your intellect. Perhaps it's your family pedigree that you're not too proud of. Perhaps it's your past. But every single person in this room, whether we admit it or not, has some level of insecurity that we are dealing with that shapes the way that we view life. Insecurity will cause you to run good things away, and it will attract drama. Can you go to my slide here? Let me tell you what insecurity is. Insecurity is this. It's uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. It's the lack of confidence. It's the state of being open to danger or threat, and it's lacking protection. Insecurity always shows up at the worst moments of your life. When you need confidence, insecurity always shows up. Insecurity shows up to cause you to self-sabotage your destiny. How do we self-sabotage our destiny? The first thing is we get paranoid. You think everybody's talking about you. You walk in the room and somebody's laughing and you're ready to cuss everybody out because you just know they're talking about you. Then you know that somebody posts something and you're ready to tweet right back at them because you swear they're talking about you and they have no clue what you're going through. Insecurity makes you paranoid. Insecurity can also make you controlling. You're controlling because you have no trust. Can I tell you how insecurity makes you controlling? It makes you controlling because you have no trust because of this. You feel guilty. You think people are doing just the same thing to you that you've done to them and to others, so you're guilty expecting all the dirt you've ever done. Just look straight ahead at me because you never felt that way before, right? All the dirt that you've ever done, you think somebody else is doing it to you, so I'm going to control you so that you don't do the things to me that I've done to you. Right. Insecurity also makes you controlling because you don't trust the person because you know you don't have their heart. In relationships, do you know why people get controlling many times? If they know that person's heart is not all the way there with them, they keep them close because they don't want you to run away. So they think by keeping you in their proximity, knowing everybody you text, knowing everywhere you go, if I can just keep my thumb on you. Can I tell you something? You don't have to beg somebody to stay that doesn't want to leave. If somebody wants to be in your life, they will stay right there without you begging you because their heart is connected with you. Insecurity comes from this, an identity crisis. You've lost your identity, therefore you judge every situation like you're the lesser than instead of the greater than in the situation. All of us in here are dealing with some level of insecurity. It's how you deal with it that determines success in life. We spend all of our life trying to get rid of insecurity, and the reality is, man, I deal with insecurity all the time. I'm dealing with it right now. As a preacher, I like those hooping singing preachers who sing and they hoop and they throw the towel in the air and y'all just run in circles and people say amen to them. And I also like the intellectual preacher that sits there and dumbfounds you with what the words are coming out of their mouth. And all these dualities are struggling in my head right now. But I'm standing here and I'm going to overcome that insecurity because God sent me here. And I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You spend our time trying to get rid of insecurity when the reality is you got to learn how to overcome it. Let me set up the scripture. If you got your Bible here, go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Or you can follow it on your smartphone there. They're going to pull up on the screen. I'm going to read a scripture today. Jesus was with his disciples, and they had just finished feeding the 5,000 men with women and children with two fish and five loaves of bread. That's an incredible day of ministry. They had a great day of ministry, and here they are. Jesus said, I'm tired, and he sent the disciples to the other side. And he sent them to the other side, and he went away to pray. And in the middle of this God moment, Peter, the bold Peter, is the one I want to talk about today when it comes to insecurity. Because you all think insecurity just dwells in timid people. Sometimes the loudest person that you know is loud because they're overcompensating for some insecurity on the inside of them. So I'm going to use Peter, who in the middle of a God moment. What's a God moment? It's a moment that you dreamed about. Anybody got a moment that you're dreaming about, that you're waiting on to happen, that you can't wait to see what God's about to do? In the middle of that God moment, Peter's insecurity stood up. And he began to sink in a moment that he should have been walking over. So I want to encourage you today through that moment. Matthew 14, 22, it's on the screen if you don't have your Bible. It says this. Immediately after this, I told you what this was. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." Isn't it amazing how God can show up in your situation and you can't even recognize him and fear set in? But God always introduces himself. The Bible said Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage, I'm here. Then Peter called, bold Peter, said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over to the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. He said, you have so little faith. Why have you doubted? Then they climbed back in the boat. I'm going to give you three things from this scripture on how to overcome insecurity. If you go to my next slide, the first thing is this. You got to forget the circumstance and establish a foundation to stand on. Your foundation is where you get strength from. Your foundation is what you look to hold you in turbulent times. God's promise over your life is foundation enough for you to stand here today. I know what it looks like to stand on the promise of God when everything is breaking loose in your life. Isaiah, I don't know, there is Isaiah right there. Isaiah's 10 years old, but Isaiah was not the first child that my wife and I had. Many of you who've been here for a while know this, that Barbara was pregnant 6 months with a child, and at 6 months being pregnant, we went into the ultrasound, and the nurse ran out, and Barbara said, something isn't right. And I said, all right, it's all right. They called us in the doctor's office and said, your child is deceased. Barbara had to give birth to a child that was dead, and we held it there for a moment. I don't know if you know what it feels like to leave the hospital knowing that you're not going to hold your baby, and you got things ready, and your mind is geared towards that. But we had God make us a promise. I said, God, I need you to take care of Barbara during this next pregnancy, and I need you to watch over us because I need my son here, and I said he was going to be a boy. And Isaiah's here today because God, I can't explain what happened with the other one, but all I know is through this, Barbara was a high-risk pregnancy. There were things that were going on in her body, but we believe God during this that we would have him and her, and they are here today because God always keeps his promises. What was their promise to the disciples? It was simple. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. We expect God to speak to us by making your iPhone ring and cut on your TV in the middle of the night, and he's Jason, this is the Lord. I don't even know if God got a deep voice, but he said, this is the Lord. God's promises to you are just simple. He said, go to the other side. If God says something, you better believe. You can bank on it because God's word is true. Here's the thing about this. If God ever sends you to a place, Jesus will never send you into failure. Every place that he sends you to, he is sending you to success. You may encounter storms, but if you will forget the circumstance and focus on the promise of God and stand still, you will see the salvation of the Lord. How many of you be honest and say, you're going to be tested? How many married people do I have in here? Do y'all remember that beautiful wedding day? You may not have had a wedding, but you remember how you thought marriage was going to be? But marriage has its highs and its lows and its in between, but God will keep you if you let him. So you got to do this. You got to forget the circumstance and establish this foundation to stand on. Number two is this. You got to focus. You must choose what you will focus on. The scripture gave you three things to focus on, the wind, the water, or the word. Peter began to fail when he took his eyes off Jesus. Scripture said, when he saw the wind and the wave, he began to sink. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he became smaller than what the promise that God promised him, and he became small in the eyes of the storm, and he began to sink. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, because sometimes you got to remember what he said over what you see, because what you see will fool you. But if you get what he said in your heart, he'll always bring it to pass. One of my favorite restaurants in the entire world is Maggiano's. And I recommend that you don't go by yourself. Go with about 10 people. It's going to cost you a little bit. It's about $30 a person, but it's worth it. You can get the family style meal. You can get the Parmesan, the Parmesan cheese there with the marinara sauce. Yes, sir. You can get the Maggiano's chopped salad. One of my favorites. Barbara likes the salmon, and they put spinach on it. I love the chicken manicotti that's just swimming in Alfredo sauce. It just lays there. Man, it's just some of the best stuff you'll ever have. They have lemon cookies to top it off. You might want to go with me after this. Yeah, it'll bless your soul. I want to bless somebody with a $50 card. Do you mind coming up in front of everybody? In the back, yeah, you raise your hand first. Here's the challenge, though. Don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. I got this from Brian. I got this from Brian Harrell. All right, here's the promise. Just stand right there. Here's the promise. Okay. Can you see it? Yes. Can you see you and Rick sitting there?
Yes, I
You can. Here's the promise. All right, you got to focus, though. Remember I told you, you can't always focus on what you see. You got to focus on what you hear. I need you to put the okay sign up. You okay? Here's the test. I need you to put the okay sign on your chin. There you go. Yeah. Most people put the okay sign on their cheek because they follow what I do. She followed what I said. And in the middle and follow what I said, she's now going to be at Maggiano's. You got to do your life the same way. You can't get so consumed in what you're going through that you forget what God told you. Did he not tell you you're going to see the salvation of the Lord? Did he not tell you that I'm going to bring you out, that I'm your way over, I'm the way under, I'm your way in between, I'm the God that's working the middle? If you will not forget what you've heard, you will see the salvation of the Lord in the midst of everything you're going through. Don't you be moved by what you see or feel. You be moved over by what you believe. The victory is mine. You got to see it through the eyes of your faith. So you got to focus. Remember, there's three things you got to focus on. The wind, the water, or the word. You got to choose right. First thing is the wind. The wind represents your problem. It represents pressure to perform. It represents critics. It represents haters. It represents opportunities. It represents distractions. I love when I get the chance to talk to people. And I was talking to this athlete, tremendous future ahead of him. And somebody had tweeted something negative about him on Twitter. They brought up something from his past. And he said he had a text. He had this tweet prepared to respond back to it. And he let me read it. I said, don't you send that. I said, don't you send that. He said, no, what this man's saying is wrong. And he's putting me on blast. I said, the only reason he is existing is if you give him credibility through your response. If you would just ignore the wind and keep playing, keep preparing. You're not lifting weights. You're not running sprints. You're not running stairs to respond to critics. You're doing it because you got a promise ahead of you. And some of you have fallen for the okie doke. You're falling for the trap and you're getting baited every day of your life to get into a fight that has no business with you being in it. You stay focused. Don't you get caught up in the wind. Don't you get caught up in who's saying what. The best thing you can do for your critics is be successful. The best thing you can do is win. Focus on what's ahead of you and don't look at your neighbor and say, don't you get caught up. Tell them I see you. Don't you get caught up. The wind. The next thing is the waves and the water. The water, it was the condition by which he was doing what he was called to do. Jesus said, step out. He was stepping on the water. The condition went from bad to good just like that. You know how waves are created? The force from the wind hits the surface of the water, and the force of the wind creates the waves. And in the middle of him going through and he's thinking everything is perfect, the drama around it caused the very thing that he was believing God for to get an upheaval. That will happen in every part of our life. We will confuse our condition with our calling. And they're two different things. Your call is perfect. Your conditions are going to change. If you let the condition cause you to question your calling, you will say, am I in the right job? Am I in the right city? Am I in the right relationship? Am I doing the right thing? You will second guess yourself into doing nothing. But when you know what God has told you, when you know what God is going to do in your life, you may have some ups and downs, but you have been anchored in God because God made me a promise. And I'm going to stand flat-footed in the confidence of the Lord. The next thing is this, the wind, the water, and the word. Here's a great thing about the word. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. The word doesn't change. Your condition is going to change. Things are going to happen in your life. But what God wants to happen, can I tell everybody who's made, anybody made some mistakes in life in here? Out of all the mistakes that you've ever made, God has not changed his mind about you. Out of all the things that you've ever experienced, God never is going to let you down. He's never going to walk out on you. Folks have walked out on you. How many have people walk out on you because you've done dumb stuff, stupid stuff? But God said, I'm going to stay right there. So I want you to trust your word, my word. The wind is telling you this. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You can't handle this. The water is telling you this. I'm too much for you. Quit. But the word is saying, stay right there. I don't want you to fail, and I will not let you fail. Let's go to the other side. Last thing, and I'm through. Last slide is this. I want you to step out on faith, not a whim. Many of us are following a whim and not what God has spoken. You don't know this, but I love to sing. I walk around my neighborhood by myself, and there's a hill that I walk at Barfield Park, and boy, I let it. I let it rip. You ever get music in your ear and then you can't nobody hear it but you, and you don't realize how loud you're singing? I feel bad for the people beside me in church because y'all sing so good, you make me feel like I can sing. And boy, I just let it go. Barbara would look at me crazy if I walked in and said, "Barbara, I'm giving it all up. I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to travel the world, and you're going to be my background dancer. I'm going to dance, and I'm going to rap. Isaiah going to be the DJ. We're going to be the brokest people to ever live in the world." It's a whim. You ever seen somebody who has a passion for something but is not good at it? Just because you like it don't mean you're supposed to pursue it. You all right in here? You got to figure out, I have a passion for it, but am I called to it? And if I'm called to it, what arena am I called to it in? So you got to follow God's word by faith, because when God speaks to you, he will bring resources from everywhere for you to do what he's called you to do. Here's the thing about this. Peter didn't step out of the boat until Jesus said, "Come." I don't want to challenge you in your life. Don't you step out until the Lord says, "Come." Barbara and I dated. We met in 2000, and we got married in 2003. And it took me 2 years to propose to her. Her sister met a guy, and in 6 months, they were engaged. And she looked at me just like that. Everybody in the family, "What's wrong with him? What's taking him so long? Why ain't he proposed to you yet? What's he down there in Tennessee doing? You in Texas?" All these things. And she had that attitude just popping. And I was like, "I don't care what he does." Got married in a year. I said, "They can get married in 3 days for all I care." Me, in my mind, I knew what God had spoken to me. And there were certain things that I was going to have in place. When we got married, there was a house for her to live in. When we got married, there was enough income to sustain us, because she was moving from Texas to Tennessee, and she didn't have a job yet. I knew what I wanted in place before I took that step. Can I challenge you in here? Don't you be pressured into doing something you're not ready to do yet. Many of us in here are frustrated right now because people are pushing you to do stuff. You're pushing yourself to do stuff. "I thought I'd be making six figures by now. I thought my life would be here by now. I thought I'd be married by now. What in the world is wrong with me?" There is nothing wrong with you. God is just working your middle. What he has promised you will come to pass. You just got to be patient and wait on it. And while you're waiting, I love this. When I walked into Coach Davis's office, there's this sign on his wall that says, "Body language isn't silent, it's screamed." While you're waiting, don't you look like what you're going through. You sit on the edge of your seat saying, "At any moment, God is about to turn this thing around. I'm not going to look uninterested. I'm going to engage in the moment, because I don't know when, I don't know how, and I don't know where, but God is going to cause me to go to the other side." And watch this. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. So every day of my life, I'm ready. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready for God to do the thing that he promised me to do. Here's the greatest thing to remember as I close. Peter didn't step out of the boat on the water. He stepped out on the word. And when he stepped out on the word, the water had to hold him. You're going to do some impossible things in life. I sit on this seat right here with the banker who's going to finance us the build. And, thank you. And the loan officer didn't just come. I didn't know what was wrong. He brought the president of the bank with him. I said, "Oh, Lord, what in the world I done done?" And I sit for 30 minutes, and I got grilled by the president of the bank and my loan officer. And he said, "What are you doing to get people to come out here?" He said, what are you guys doing to sustain what you're doing out here?" And he said, I have to be careful because I don't want to throw my money in. He said, "If you guys collapse out here, who's going to buy a building in the middle of nowhere?" And I started shaking a little bit. He was doing his due diligence. I'd ask the same thing if I was going to invest that amount of money into a building. But then when he left, I sit there and I got on my knees right there at the stage and I said, "God, maybe he's right. But maybe it is too much. Maybe." And God said, "You didn't call yourself here. I called you here." And he said, "Where I call you, I'll turn nowhere into somewhere because you're there. You just keep doing what I told you to do. And I'm going to send people from the north, south, east, and west who had never heard of Christiana. I'm going to put it on the map because of what I want to do through you." But don't you get focused. Don't you get unfocused and focus on the wind and the wave. You focus on what I told you. Can I encourage you in here? You're about to do some stuff that folks have drowned in. You're about to do some things that people in your family are going to try to talk you out of. But if God told you to do it, I'm a living witness that if God said it, you believe it, you stand on it, it's going to happen. I'm through with, notice this. How many times have I said I'm through? It's third time. I'm really through this time. When Peter began to sink, Jesus reached them up, grabbed it from the waves, and he said this, "Oh, ye little faith, why did you doubt?" He didn't speak to the wind. He didn't speak to the wave. He spoke to Peter. You're waiting on God to talk to your circumstance. God said, I ain't worried about your circumstance. I'm worried about you. And I want you to get your faith up because there's more in you than what's going on around you. Yesterday, I did that little thing with Isaiah. I said, Isaiah, put your okay sign on your chin. And he put it on his. I said, if you do it, I'll buy you some Curry socks and a Curry shirt from Under Armour because I want him to go to Oppie Mills with me. He said, Daddy, he did it and he got it right. He said, you know, I already done this for me before. I said, oh, I forgot. He said, but can you do this for me? He said, I don't want Curry socks or a shirt. He said, I need some BC or VC, something on 2K17. He said, I need to level up. I said, how much is it exactly to level up? I said, oh, $10. No, Daddy, $10 won't do it. $19.99, and I'm on level up. He was stuck at a certain place in his season. And when I caused him to let, that $19.99 caused his man to get access to more stuff, and he leveled up, and he was able to defeat the thing that was defeating him. Can I tell you, encourage you the same thing? You need to level up in here. You're going through some stuff. Don't you succumb to what you're going through. You come up here. There is more in you than what you've seen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to level up. I'm through. For real. Stand to your feet. Y'all like, I don't know where to stand. Sit. I listened to this song by Tasha Cobb this week. And she took me in. There's somebody, I'm getting ready. Ready for overflow, and she was singing, and Tasha was taking me in. And in the middle of her singing, a lady by the name of Nicki Minaj, you guys have probably never heard of her. Y'all listening to Nicki? Would you like for her to come? No, she's joking. And Nicki began to talk about, she said the devil was bringing stuff at her. She said, but I leveled up twice. And something to the fact that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got some things coming at you in your life, but you can make a commitment to God. You can make a commitment to God's promises over your life. And you don't have to lose it. You don't have to snap. You don't have to do crazy stuff. You don't have to change who you are to get what God says. I made a commitment years ago. I used to have to network with people and just connect with brokers and stuff when I was on my job. And I found myself laughing at stuff that I didn't think was funny, going places I didn't want to go. And I made a decision, oh no, I'm not going to change who I am. Yeah, I'll connect. But I'll never change Jason's scales to fit in a situation. Well, God has for me, if I'm not enough, I don't need to be there. And there's a decision you make in your life where insecurity doesn't get the best of you. Can you get better? Yes. But you don't have to compromise your integrity for success. You can be who God says you are and stand in the midst of pressure and stand and see what God wants to do. You can bow your head. I want to give you a chance here. You come from